see that. Now, as a Christian, as a child of God, we are free from sin. We need to recognize that. We're not bound by sin any longer. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that we could have that freedom and we could be free of sin. And He wants us to have that. That's His desire more than anything else, is that we be people who are free of sin. And He died, He put His life on the line so that we could have that. But secondly, we need to understand that freedom is not a freedom from Christ. That we are going to be those people that are going to be bound to Jesus Christ. And see, it's hard for people to understand that. Some people think freedom means that I can do whatever I want to. Is that what freedom is? It can't be. Okay, here's two fellows that come up to a four-way stop. And both of them arrive there at the same time. Well, I'm in my car and you're in your car. And I say, wait a minute, I'm an American, I'm free, I'm going to go on through this stop sign. And you get over there on the other side and you say, well, I'm an American, I'm free, I'm going to go on through this stop sign. What's going to happen? EMTs are coming, there's going to be a big wreck. Why? I'm free, I can do what I want to. You're free and you can do what you want to. So you do what you want to and be free. I'll do what I want to and be free. But let me tell you something. That's going to be anarchy, isn't it? We've got to understand that freedom has restraints with it. It has to have restraints with it. If there are no restraints, then you're going to have conflict. You'll have lawlessness. Because if you've got something that I want, then I just come over there and I get it. I steal it from you. I hit you in the head. I shoot you. Whatever I want to do to get it, it's, you know, I'm free. I can do that. Well, that's not freedom. That's not what freedom is about. That's not what freedom is about in this country. That's not what freedom is about in Christianity. And we need to understand about this thing of freedom. And we need to recognize exactly what it is that we have, that we are free in Christ. And we need to, and this is the thing I'm talking about today, is the freedom in Christ. Not a political sermon, not trying to get into all that. That's not what I think we need to be doing in religion. I think what we need to be doing is finding out what God's Word says. We need to understand what freedom is. We need to understand that there's some restrictions with freedom. And we have to have that. You see, there's people in religion today that say, you know, because we're not under the law of Moses anymore in religion. And Jesus Christ said that, didn't He? We're not bound by the old law anymore. We're free from that. That's part of what He's talking about in Galatians. If you heard Mark's class this morning, you heard that. And he was trying to help us to see that we're not bound by that old law. It would surprise you at how many people today in their theological teaching are bound to the Old Testament law. Have you ever heard anybody say, we're still under the Ten Commandments? If I were to say today, we're not under the Ten Commandments, would you go, oh, I can't believe you said that. But we're not. Are we? No, we're not. We're bound by the law of Christ. And please understand, there's some people that say, oh, we're not under any law now. You know what Paul said, we're not under a law. Well, let me tell you something. Paul did not mean that we were not under the law of Christ. And we're going to see that today. I want us to understand that and understand what he's trying to say here. That this old law, this old Jewish law is not a part of us, but still we are under the law of Christ. And we've got to recognize that. Peter in Acts 15 and verse 10, listen to what he said about this old law. Now therefore, why tempt God to put yourselves, to put a yoke upon your necks, and on the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. He's saying that old law is done away with. That's not a part of us. We could go on. Part of what Paul is saying in Galatians 3 and 4 is that we're not under that old law. Why? Helping people to understand. You see, the idea for people at that time, as Mark said this morning, was that some people wanted to continue to bind the old law. Their idea of what a person needed to do to be a Christian was this: faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and circumcision. You had to have that. The thing that showed that you were a Jew. that you were one under the law of Moses. That was a part of the covenant. That was a part of the sign of the covenant that you were under. You were willing to do that. Everyone that became a proselyte had to be circumcised. All the males had to be circumcised. That was a part of the law. And you see, some of those people there in Galatians and Colossians that Mark's talking about, they were saying you've got to be under this Old Testament. And Paul was trying to say, wait a minute, that's not the case. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're not bound by that old law. And here, as it was said in Acts 15, Peter said there, he was willing to say, listen, that was a yoke that even our fathers and our grandparents and our great-grandparents could not keep. That was a law they could not follow. A part of the purpose of the law was to show people that they were sinful. Remember what Paul said? I wouldn't have known what sin was except for the law. The old law basically was helping people to see what sin really was and to understand the power of sin in their life. Understand this power and how great and how strong it was, and understand when Christ came, it was just like opening up a window when you got a house that's closed up and you open it up and the breeze just comes through. How wonderful it is. How refreshing it is. When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, and I know that's a terrible thing, but as far as God was concerned, as far as we were concerned, it was the breath of life for us. It was so that we could have that forgiveness of sins. We didn't have to roll them forward. We didn't have to worry about those sins going forward. Those sins were paid for right then. Isn't it wonderful? Do you realize today that when we sin, we can go to God and ask God to forgive us? How long does it take God to forgive us? Does He have to wait? Does He have to put that off a little bit? Does He have to wait for something else to happen? No, God forgives us right then, and we need to realize that. Do you feel that refreshing feeling when you go to God and you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you know that He's forgiven you right then and those sins are not a part of you anymore? Do you feel how refreshing, how wonderful that is? I hope you can. I hope your religion is so much that you believe in God in such a great way that you're willing to recognize you are forgiven at that very moment for your sins. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. And we need that. Because then we can go on knowing that our sins are washed, our sins are cleansed away, and we're no longer bound by that. We are those people that are free from that. Now, in Galatians 5, I want us to see something here. In Galatians 5, in verse 1, stand fast, therefore. Now, he's already been talking in chapters 3 and 4 about this. Really, the whole book is about this. But in chapter 5, he says, stand fast. Listen, you put your feet on the ground and you don't move. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. We are those people that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we have a liberty. We are now those people that are free. If there is any country that should understand liberty and freedom, it should be this country. Not only because of what's happening tomorrow and what happened years ago and what happens as far as our country is concerned, but we should understand freedom because this is something that we relish. What is it to be free? What is it to be those people that we have liberty? Well, as far as our country is concerned, you don't have to, when you cross over from Alabama into Georgia, you don't have to show them a passport. It's convenient to do that. When you cross over from Alabama to Tennessee, you don't have to show them a passport. There's a freedom that's there. You know, some countries, they go from one small area to another area. You got to be checked. You got to have your papers. Got to have all that. You say, well, you have to do that when you go to a foreign country. Yes, to prove that you're the right kind of person to be able to come into that country. We hadn't realized that in this country yet, but we need to. We need to understand what liberty, and I think we understand what liberty and freedom is to a certain extent, but I think we forgot about exactly what it's about. This liberty that we have, this freedom that we have is bound up. We have laws that we were talking about a while ago. We have laws, and those laws are to protect our freedom. When you come up to a four-way stop, and one person stops, another person stops, you understand what the law is. The person on the right, then, if you come up there at the same time, has the power to go first. That's just a part of the law. You say, wait a minute, I'm not free then. Oh, yes, you are. Then you can go. And you have the right to go then. You have that freedom. I want you to understand something today. There is no freedom without restraint. There is no freedom where you can do whatever you want to. That is lawlessness. If you do whatever you want to and you can do everything you want to, I want you to understand that's not a freedom there. That's not freedom at all. In religion today, I've had people tell me, oh, we're not under a law. Oh, yes, we are. The law of Christ. What is that? And we're going to see that in just a minute here in Galatians 5. He said, this is the law of Christ. Just one of them. That's all. Love your brethren. Now, if you want to show that you love God, this is when I want y'all to say something, okay? If you want to show that you love God, how do you do that? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Wait a minute. I'm free under Christianity. We just read it. I shouldn't have to worry about that. You see, under Christianity, we have a law that we're under, and we've got to follow that law. Oh, are we free? Yes, we are. We're free to follow that law all we want to. Remember the list of sins that people talked about and that Paul talked about? Don't be a part of those things. But he also mentioned another list, and he said, listen, this is what you need to do, and you can do this all you want to. Do you know you can love your brethren all you want to? You can help them all you want to? You can be kind to people that are unkind to you all you want to? You can do all of that. And so here, Paul is trying to say to these people, understand the freedom that you have. We need to understand our freedom today. Our freedom is bound up. Look as he goes on. We are those people that we are free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, don't go back to that old law. Don't be tangled up in that. You couldn't keep it. Your fathers couldn't keep it. Your grandfathers couldn't keep it. Nobody could keep it. Well, can we keep the law of Christ today? Can we follow every bit of the law of Christ today? Now, listen to what I'm telling you. Yes, we can. Because every time we go against that law, every time, if you want to say break that law, that's okay. It doesn't bother me. Some people it bothers. If you want to do that, if you want to go against that law, you can. But we can come back to God and we're free to confess those sins, and He is free and willing and able to forgive us of those sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? That we have this, and it's ours, and nobody can take it away from us. Nobody can rip this from us. Now, look at this. I want us to see this. The Christian is free from sin. I'm really trying to emphasize this. We have a freedom from sin. In Acts 8, verses 31 and 32, listen to this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. Now, here's some Jews that believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, or at least He was from God. They believed that. If you continue in My Word, okay, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God today? You believe that? Now, not everybody. Some said yes. I believe all of us said that. I believe all of us believe that. All right, now, look as he goes on. That's a wonderful thing. If we continue in His Word, we continue in that Word, we believed His Word that He was from God, now we believe Him so much that we're willing to continue in that Word. You are My disciples, and not just My disciples, but you're My disciples really, really, really big. You're My disciples, as he talks about here, indeed. And you shall know the truth. Whoa. Turned the lights out on that one, didn't I? I didn't do that. You shall know the truth. If the lights go out, I'm continuing my sermon. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How does the truth set you free? It tells me don't do this and don't do that. Why does it do that? So that I can be a person, that I have the freedom of being a child of God and I have the forgiveness of my sins. I have that. It's mine, and nobody can take it away from me. Not even the devil himself can take it away from me. He didn't have that kind of power. I have the power to be able to overcome that. Everyone in the world has the power to make a choice to serve God or not to serve God. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in the world will make that choice. We'll choose. We choose to sin when we become of that age of accountability, whatever that age is. We make a choice. And we choose sin. Jesus Christ comes and says, wait a minute, you're under bondage now to sin. You've put yourself in with sin. I want to get you out of that. I want to relieve you of that. Okay, how can you do that? I want to buy you back. I want to purchase you. Remember the word redeem? As you take something and you buy that thing back and you bring that thing back, that's what we've got to be willing to do. That's what we've got to be recognized, willing to recognize. Now, it's hard to realize that idea of freedom, that idea of freedom from sin. We need to recognize. Listen at John 8, verses 33 and 34. They, talking about the Jews, answered and said, we are Abraham's seed. Now, Jesus had said to them, you're under bondage. No, we're not. We're not under bondage at all. Look here, we are Abraham's seed. We're relying on Abraham. We're his descendants. And we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? Let me tell you something. To be able to realize that you need freedom, that you need freedom from bondage, you've got to first realize that you're bound. If you don't realize you're bound, then you're not going to do anything about it. You've been driving somewhere and you got lost. Now, I know they say men are like this. I've known a couple of women like that. Won't mention any names, okay? But will not stop and ask for directions. Some people know they're lost. Some people don't know they're lost yet. You're just sitting in the car waiting for your wife to tell you that. But you've got to realize you're lost first before you want to try to find out, okay, how do I get back to where I need to be? How do I get to the point to where I could find the place I need to be to get on the right track? See, these Jews could not understand that they were lost. They said, we hadn't been under bondage to anybody. At that very moment, they were under bondage to the Greeks, to the Romans. Not Greeks, to the Romans. They were those that were slaves to them right then, but they wouldn't recognize it. Brethren, we've got people today that are under the bondage of sin that don't even recognize it. They don't even know it. That's what these people were saying here. We don't even recognize that. We don't even understand that. Most assuredly I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. We're bound to it. We're tied to it. Now, here it's talking about people who are going to continually turn away from God and turn away to the world. Face the world and do what the world wants them to do and live like that. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the 8th chapter. I want to show you something here. And then we're going to skip back to the chapter 6 just a little bit. In Romans 8 and verse 1, listen to what the Roman writer says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Those in Christ are free. They're free. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now this is the difference here. You see, some people look and they see people in this world and they see us as Christians when we do things that are wrong. They say, what's the difference? We're doing the same thing you're doing. Or you're doing the same thing we're doing. Or both of us are doing the same thing that we shouldn't be doing. What's he trying to say here? He's saying here's a child of God that when they do it, they have a shame about them. They regret that. They don't want to ever do it again. and they're going to go to God and say, God, please forgive me. God, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to live in a better way. God, help me to do that. That's the difference between the world and the Christian. The world may get, a person in the world may regret being caught in their sin, but they don't repent of their sins. They just regret the punishment they're going to have to go through. The Christian regrets causing shame or punishment on God's reputation at all. We live right because we are God's children. We live right because we're people that are going to do what God wants us to do. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to worry about that law anymore of sin and death. What is that? That's the Old Testament law. That's the law that said you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And if you do that, then you're cut off from God. You have no hope. There were people at that time that wanted to follow God, and so they were willing to go along with the will of God. Today we have the power to be free in Christ, to be those people that belong to Christ. Remember the idea that He purchased us? That's what we're talking about here. How do you get into Christ? Go over to Romans 6 and in verse 1. Well, let's just look at verse 3 for the sake of time. Or do you not know, talking about people, are we going to be people in sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, he says in verse 2. Or do you not know that they, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should do what? We should walk. That's the way we live in our life before others. We're going to live like God wants us to live. That's the freedom we have. The freedom that everybody has is the freedom to be free from all sin, to have those sins washed and cleansed away, to be a child of God. Now, look at this, if you would. Am I on the right one? Yeah, okay. The Christian is free from the law of Moses. You say, what has that got to do with us? We're not arguing that. Again, you need to understand the teaching of the world and what the world teaches. Because a lot of the world still teach that we are bound by this Old Testament law, and we are not. We have to recognize that. In Romans 8 and verse 2, it tells us there that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. This is the point that Paul's making. This is what he's trying to get these people to understand. You've got to be under the law of Christ. You've got to be under the law that's going to give us the forgiveness of our sins and cleanse us and make us right. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to have. And so we're free from this law. And we could go on and look at there where people are saying this is not a part of us and we should not be a part of that. Now, point number 3 that we're on here right now. The Christian is not free from Christ. And we got to understand that. Please understand, when you read you're not under law, that does not mean that you're not bound by anything. Some people believe that. They say, we're under love. So if I love you, I can do whatever I want to. I can overlook all of God's law and let it all go. Brethren, that's from the devil. He wants you to believe that. Understand that. He wants you to believe that, and you can't do. Listen, without law, you have lawlessness. In this country, we're free, but we have a law. In Christianity, we're free, but we have a law that we're under. And we've got to follow that law. We're not lawless people. Anarchy exists when you have people that they think their freedom means that they get to do whatever they want to do. You have restrictions, and you've got to have that. To have association with other people, you've got to have restrictions. I've got to give up some of my freedom. You've got to give up some of your freedom. I've got to do that. To live in this country, to be a child of God, I'm going to tell you something. You've got to give up some of your freedoms. Now, It's free. I could lay it in the bed this morning and sleep, and you don't know how much I wanted to do that. And just, I might be getting up right now, but I have to give up that freedom because I'm a child of God. I got to get up and get out of that bed and get my clothes on and get to the services. My children give up that freedom because they've got to get up and they've got to get ready. Now, you see them go, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do that. Okay, help them to understand you are going to do this because we're Christians and we are training you to be a child of God. And we want you to understand those freedoms that you have. A freedom to be able to come to the worship service. A freedom to be able to sing. A freedom to be able to pray. A freedom to be able to observe the Lord's Supper. A freedom to be able to study the Word of God. Those are freedoms that we have. And they're very precious freedoms. I have to give up some things. Somebody says, hey, let's go get drunk tonight. That's a freedom I've got to give up. You say, well, that's not a freedom, that's sin. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm trying to get you to look at it in a different way. That's a freedom we have to give up. I can't do that. Why can't I do that? Because it's not fun. I'm not going to get to do it anymore. No, I can't do that because that is not freedom under Christ. Freedom under Christ is I'm going to be willing to give up my will for what He says. I'm going to be willing to do what He wants me to do. I'm going to be willing to recognize that. That's a part of that freedom. Do you realize that we're servants? If you turn to Titus 1 and verse 1, James 1 and verse 1, and 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, every one of those passages there talks about a servant, a doulos in the Greek. They are servants. Paul introduces himself as a servant. Peter introduces himself as a servant. All of the apostles introduced themselves as servants. What were they? I thought they were free people. I thought they were free. They were free, but they were servants of Jesus Christ. They were under His law. They were under His will. They were under His way. That's the way they were supposed to live. And so they're going to stay away from these things. You say, wait a minute, that's not freedom. Oh, yes, it is. You've got to have that. You've got to have that kind of freedom. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, what are we free to do? Let me tell you something. Listen to these. We are free to obey Jesus Christ. We can do that all we want to. We're free to do that. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. But not only that, as a child of God, we're free to follow the example of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. We're to be willing to do that. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got to be those people that are willing to serve one another. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. We've got to be willing to love one another. This is one of the great things. Somebody says, do you mean all this stuff is we've got to love our brother? That's the law of Christ? Listen, the law of God is just one. Love God. That's all we got to do. Now you say, wait a minute, there's a whole lot more to that. No, everything else we do is to show our love for Christ. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. I've got to show my love to you. And you've got to show your love to me. Just think about that if we lived in a world where Christianity was affected like that. And it changed the people like that. And how it would be that we would be able to be that. We've got to be those people that we must be people that we understand the liberties that we have. And we use those liberties to help people to understand and to see what the will of Christ is. And we don't use those for the flesh. You see, I can't take my liberty and use it for wrong. That's what Paul was saying in Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. You've been called to freedom. Listen to you. Only do not use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, of sin. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. So we're going to be children of God because we're free. That's the reason we are children of God. We're free to choose God. We're free to follow God. We're free to let our will be His, or let His will be our will. And we're going to do that. Freedom is not free. Freedom has a price to it. And we need to recognize that. The freedom for this country, for the freedoms that we have in this country, it is not free. You go down to some of these cemeteries and you see these little crosses that are just lined up perfectly. Those are soldiers that died. You can go to foreign countries. I've been to some of those foreign countries. And you see those fields over there where those crosses are, where those soldiers went. And somebody said, freedom is free. Oh, no, it's not. We've got soldiers right now that are paying a price. Their bodies are being torn apart. Their lives are being taken. Children are losing parents, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters for freedom. Don't tell me freedom is free. It costs something, and we got to pay for it. Freedom in Christianity is not free. You've got to give up your will for freedom. You've got to give up your way for freedom. And then we can have freedom, and we can be free in Christ. We can be those people that we have restraints on us. Nothing wrong with that. But we're going to be free in Christ. Let me tell you something. I want you to be free today. I want you to be free of Satan. I want you to be free that you can serve God and do the will of God, and nobody's going to restrain you in doing that. Today, you're free. You can step out of that pew, come up here, and make a confession, and be immersed in water.